Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? When people say stuff like that.
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Crazy. This is absolutely crazy, and I am not talking about Washington, D.C., although we could. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, please share with the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program the statistic you just shared with me about Libby Glossin's two-week-old Fortas Institute podcast titled The Better Way.
Yeah, so after her second episode, the ranking, she shot right to the top 5% of all podcasts in the world. Not just Christian podcasts, but all of them.
And there are over 4 million podcasts.
Yeah.
2 weeks, top 5%. Come on, y'all. That is so awesome. Thank you to everybody who is tuning in. I know that you are being blessed. It is a podcast for women, and it ain't chick chat. It's not silliness. It isn't just ushy-gushy sort of soft sentimentality. No, it's intelligent talk. Received an email. This is the effusive response we're getting to Libby Glossin's podcast. This is an actual quote. My Christian world has been all caps rocked. It has been all capped awakened. How? A Better Way podcast. At 73 years young, I thought I understood all the angles of the Bible, but this show is rocking my world. It's changing how I think. So congratulations to Libby. Thank you for tuning into it. And if you are not yet listening to the Better Way podcast, please find it at fortisplus.org. You can also download it or do whatever the technological term is for getting it wherever you do podcast business. The Better Way, Libby Glossin. And by the way, her YouTube special with Martha Peace, it's up on the YouTube machine. How to be a woman who lives with a man who maybe ain't a knight in shining armor, who maybe sometimes can be a jerk, maybe sometimes is a jerk a lot. Very, very helpful. And you'll get to see and meet Libby. And then you can start listening to The Better Way podcast at fortisplus.org. Speaking of fortisplus.org, for your consideration, a different take. If you've ever tuned into this program before, which to date, we've never found anybody who's listened more than once, you've heard me share kind of my take, my angle on politics. And these days, because the subject is so charged, people tend to get rankled because we've got differences of opinion and different shadings on things. You're about to hear the shadings of one of our fellows. This is a man way smarter than I am. Todd, that ain't hard to find these days. Dr. Andrew Walker, he's the ethicist prof at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Speaking of Kentucky, Jimmy, I think Lexington, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mrs. Friel and I are going to do it this year. We're going to go to the sheep herding trials.
Okay.
You laugh at that. Have you been to a sheep herding trial?
I have not.
Do not mock this until you've actually gone to one. It is awesome.
Okay.
This is man and beast. And there's one that's in charge and the other one that obeys, or hopefully obeys, to round up the sheep. It is so cool. And it's going to be in Lexington, Kentucky, I believe in May. And we're going to make the drive to just go sit on a blanket and watch people whistle at their dogs to herd sheep that have a tendency to go astray. I've heard that someplace. It is awesome. Maybe we'll stop by the Southern Seminary and see Dr. Andrew Walker, who offers in a director's cut his take on politics. Where does it stand in our list of priorities? How do we find the balance? There's so much talk these days about politics. I thought it would abate after the inauguration. It has not. And I think a lot of people are excited, and maybe we'll kind of settle back into a less politically focused rhythm. But right now, it's a hot deal. And there are people that are talking about it in Christian circles a lot. And you might think, awesome, it's about time. Other people are saying, can we just focus, please, on theological issues? And then you've got everything in between. Our director's cuts at FortisPlus.org are little snippets, they're little short takes. Jason Allen, who leads the Fortis Fellows program, does a short introduction, and then one of the Fortis Fellows speaks on a subject, and it is all free at FortisPlus.org. This is Dr. Andrew Walker talking about the priority of politics. That's our sound effect.
Most people have a knee-jerk reaction.
That's Jason.
When they hear the word politics. What's your response? Chances are we either put too much hope in politics or completely dismiss it altogether. Fortis Institute Fellow and Professor of Christian Ethics and Public Theology, Dr. Andrew Walker, has something to say about both of those extremes. Every law, every policy, every election carries real consequences for morality, justice, and the culture we live in. So we must engage. Dr. Walker is going to show us how we balance heavenly citizenship with earthly responsibility.
Sound effect.
Political power is the ability to put a policy into effect and to fit that policy into a concrete program. The government of a nation maintains the preponderance of political power. It cannot tolerate any group within the state with more power than that of itself. The moment such a group emerges with more power than the government, it immediately becomes the government. And I love this line. As all ice is cold ice, so all politics is power politics. Basically, politics has power as its chief ingredient, compromise as its primary method of getting things done, and the public good as its main purpose. In whatever way politics may be defined, it is neither bad enough for Christians to withdraw entirely from it, nor good enough for Christians to feel no necessity for permeating it with their moral leaven. It's a very appropriate balance. To say it more bluntly, if you want to restrain moral evil in society, that is going to require power politics. And there's nothing wrong with power politics if power politics is being, if power is being used for good ends. Now, our heavenly citizenship, of course, is the truest reality that reconfigures our loves and imaginations about all things political, but it does not evacuate us from the responsibilities of statecraft. A Christian politics, this is based off Matthew 22, is one of subordinating the powers to their proper jurisdiction and realm, not repudiating their temporal rule. So we should reject what I consider to be political escapism or political idealism, as though there is a platonic ideal to politics that does not require engaging the kingdoms of the world for what they fundamentally are: worldly, temporal, and creational ordinances designed to bring about justice. Political systems are not saviors, but they are harbors in which to find safety from political storms. Politics matters, folks. It truly does. The culture is going in a really bad direction, but because elections have consequences, the Supreme Court is going in a really good direction. And to the extent that culture goes in that direction and the court goes in that direction and provides more legal safe harbors and more legal protections, goes to show you just how important politics is. It's not everything. Politics will never save you. Please hear me say that. Politics is not everything, but it's also not nothing either.
That is the tricky balance that all of us must find as we try to figure out how do we live in this world when we are really members of another kingdom. Needless to say, how we go about the business of trying to find that balance, the reality is we're going to have differences of opinions. We just are. And sometimes what I have discovered as of late is that many of us actually share the same opinions. We just articulated a different way, or a slightly different shading, or maybe just a little bit more of an emphasis on the versus a. There's something relatively insignificant grammatically. It's just a different way of expressing what our take is on this balance. And it's causing a fair amount of disunity. That is, if I had to select the issue that it, okay, definitely top three as we go about the business of trying to figure out how to be kingdom citizens as we are citizens in a country. I think one of the most grievous aspects of all of this is how it is setting us at odds with one another. Jimmy, for instance, in just listening to Andrew Walker, who clearly is a whole lot smarter than you and I are, did you agree with absolutely every single shading and every single emphasis on his understanding of the place of politics in the life of the Christian?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Overall, though.
Overall, the grand scheme of things.
But not everything.
No.
And then one of you is a heretic and you got to go. That's what I keep seeing. And that simply ought not to be. And so as we go about the business of trying to figure out, okay, how do I find my balance in all of this? Please note, not everybody is going to sing off the exact same song sheet as you are. And not everybody is going to perhaps sing as loudly as you do. But please, as we go about the business of doing our bestest to try to sort this, Christian charity toward one another. This is Wretched Radio.
What if you could strengthen your marriage in just minutes a day? Well, we're making that possible and easier than ever before, because now through the end of the month, we're giving away our resource Drive by Marriage completely free at FortisPlus.org. And also don't forget to pick up the study guide absolutely free as well. Drive by Marriage gives you 31 powerful bite-sized lessons that fit into your busy schedule. And with the study guide, you're going to get deeper insights and practical exercises to apply what you're learning. This complete marriage building package has helped couples grow closer to each other and closer to God. You're going to discover keys to better communication, biblical solutions for resolving conflict, and ways to build lasting trust and intimacy. Don't miss this opportunity. Visit FortisPlus.org now to get your free digital copy of Drive by Marriage and the study guide. Remember, the special offer ends at the end of the month. Head to FortisPlus.org right now. It's Drive by Marriage, because a few minutes a day can transform your marriage forever. FortisPlus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
What do you get when you combine eight of today's most trusted Christian voices with a commitment to unwavering biblical truth? Well, of course, you get Fortis Institute, your daily source for spiritual strength. We're not offering opinions here. We're providing a fortress of biblical wisdom for these challenging times that we're all living in. Every day, our fellows deliver fresh content that tackles real issues. Dr. John Crott shows you how to integrate theology into daily life. Brad Bigney transforms your struggling marriages into thriving relationships. Greg Gifford helps to bring biblical solutions to anxiety and depression. Plus, get exclusive access to private events, webinars, and studio sessions as a Fortis Insider. The best part? It's all free. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now and join our community of believers who refuse to be tossed to and fro by the cultural waves. From podcasts and videos to live events and daily hot takes, Fortis Institute provides the biblical foundation you need to stand strong. Because in times like these, we need more than just information, we need transformation.
Books of the Bible. The book of Joel describes a series of disasters that serve as God's judgment and a warning that an even more severe day of judgment is coming. When you see the power and fury of creation, do not fear nature, but fear him who controls nature. But if God's people will turn to him in repentance, he will be compassionate and rescue them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And just in case you don't feel dumb already, This is Wretched Radio. Dr. Andrew Walker, he's a Fortas Fellow here at Fortas Institute. He's the Ethics Prophet, Southern Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, which is close to where Jimmy is going to the sheep herding trials this year in Lexington. We should do it together, Jimmy.
Let's go.
I'm telling you, you know what we are going to do here as far as road trips, though?
What's that?
We're sending Dalton on more. Oh. Don't tell him I haven't shared this with him yet. Didn't he do a bang-up job in giving a report from what was happening at the University of Kentucky last week regarding that revival?
Oh, yeah.
That's they're organizing these at different campuses. He went to it, and I thought he did such a bang-up job, we're going to turn it into a YouTube video, but I think we need to send him to other things.
Okay.
Because here in Atlanta, we get other things. We get I think Bethel is coming to town. And
he'll love that.
Oh, and he's going to think we don't love him for sending him to it. But and of course it has the word fire in it, which is the hallmark of the NAR. It's all about the fire falling from heaven, etc. We're going to send him to that, and he can give a review on what he saw there. Because there's all kinds of road shows that take place and travel throughout Atlanta. But Jimmy, you and I should do we should take the missus, because that's the plan, and just go sit on blankets. You bring some cheese and crackers. If you're not a Baptist, I guess you can bring wine. You're a good Baptist, of course. You'll just stick with Coke Zero. But it's wonderful watching these dogs. They're so smart. And the people that command them with their whistles and what have you. I'm telling you, you're going to lose your minds with the dog festival thing, which is near where Andrew Walker teaches at Southern Sem, and this is another director's cut. These can all be found for free at fortisplus.org. Now, this particular snippet, he's speaking someplace. This isn't him just looking at the camera and talking, which is typically what director's cuts are. Now, this is Andrew speaking about I'll just let him say it.
The three moral tragedies of our age are this: secularism, nihilism, and barbarism. Secularism is the loss of God and transcendence. Nihilism is the loss of purpose and meaning. Barbarism is the loss of moral tradition. This has significant impact on the cultural moment. Ross Douthat, the New York Times columnist, said this. He said that the America of today is more socially liberal on almost every issue than the America of George W. Bush.
Yeah.
More secular, less heteronormative, more diverse in terms of both race and personal identity, more influenced by radical ideas that once belonged to the fringe of academia. Unfortunately, in finding its heart's desire, the left also seems to have found a certain kind of despair.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that there isn't some obvious ground for purpose and solidarity and ultimate meaning once you've deconstructed all the sources you consider tainted. And it's at the vanguard of that deconstruction among the very liberal young that you find the greatest unhappiness.
And wow, are we seeing that? Remove God, remove morality, and remove transcendence, that we're image bearers that are here to do great works for God, not for ourselves, but for God. You remove all of that. Is it any wonder that we are in a mental health crisis state right now? And which, by the way, if you're interested in that subject, get ready. Greg Giffert's book, it is almost here. It is dealing with that very subject, which with secularism's approach to mental health issues, we'll let you know when it is available for pre-order. And I hope you will consider getting it. It is a serious book, but it will also help us to be a louder voice in a world that is crying out for help. And even as Andrew Walker talks about the despair that seems to be permeating our society, I think we can do two things. We can expose the worldview that wrought the national depression, the loneliness epidemic. But I think then we should point to a greater source of finding fulfillment as a human being, to finding transcendence, to finding what the purpose of our existence is and what it is that we do that actually matters. We've got something to say to this lost world because the promises of atheism have utterly failed. You cannot take, if you wanted to do a sociological study on the fruit of a worldview, because of social media, secularism has so powerfully pervaded our culture, our universities, our corporation, every major institution. Humanism reigns, and it didn't always have the reins of society, but it has grabbed them out of the hands of the church, and it has started to direct our culture now for mere decades. And we are immediately seeing the fruit of it. And it's exactly what Andrew Walker is describing. There's this nihilism. It says, what's the point of all of this? Which ultimately is going to descend into barbarism. It's exactly what we are seeing. No worldview has so utterly failed in such a brief amount of time as secular humanism.
The very success of the progressive project devouring contentment. And that's what my next project is going to be next year. I start working on my next book, is looking at the ways that a broken society is actually reverse engineering itself to the need for something like a Christian natural law revolution. From things like the loneliness epidemic, deaths of despair, the decline of family, the deinstitutionalization of American life, drug overdoses, the use of antidepressants.
Anti-family, that's got to be in there. Jimmy, would you send a note to Andrew? Make sure the deconstruction of family is in there too, because that is a biggie.
What this means is we are in a target-rich environment for the gospel.
Yep. Amen.
The Judeo-Christian tradition offsets all of these pathologies. Yep. Things are becoming so unbounded in our society that attempts to transgress the outer edges of the natural law are causing people of all perspectives to take notice of what we've lost. So despite our best attempts to do so as a civilization, we cannot get beyond or eternally evade the questions that religion is designed to answer, and Christianity in particularly best answers. It may be the purpose of the church to simply remind American public life of the inherently teleological design of our nation. And to the extent that teleology is eclipsed by sheer emotivism, the American experiment begun in the Philadelphia laboratory in 1776 will resemble the laboratory of the National Institutes for Coordinated Experiments, the dystopic and totalitarian think tank for human manipulation in Lewis's That Hideous Strength. To speak once again of eternal recurrence, it was Lewis who 81 years ago in The Abolition of Man said that we were then in a post-Christian culture, we are today as well. What this means is the church may simply need to be a rock in the shoe of American democracy. An admittedly and relatively small presence, all things considered, but annoyingly persistent in pointing out the discomfort of trying to talk about justice, morality, and rights without divine teleology. So as always, we must be a gospel people. The proclamation of the gospel is inseparable from the reformation of culture toward proper and fitting ends. New creations in Christ, attuned to nature's original purpose, build cultures attuned to nature's good purpose.
Got to do a shout out at this moment. It is our desire to do just that on university campuses. If you are a church near a university and you have an authorized pass from the university to do ministry on the campus, we'd love to partner with you. We'd love to come to a university campus that you already minister to and do something big there. An event that would also include evangelism. That would be at the forefront of all of these different variations that we could present on a university campus, whether it's the debate about creation versus evolution, what about mental health issues, the morality issues, or just the sense of lostness that kids are experiencing. If you are a church and you have a relationship with a university where they would give you a room so that we could come to town with you and talk to kids about all of these issues, which they are groping to try to understand. They're looking desperately for somebody to tell them, sup. If you'd like to partner with us, send an email to Dalton@FortisInstitute.org. FortisInstitute.org. Back to Andrew Walker.
What this means is that we must announce the lordship of Jesus Christ for sinners first and foremost, and never lose sight of the urgency and priority of that. But we must also insist upon the lordship of Christ over creation, evident in the pattern of design that we call something like the natural law. But again, I am clear-eyed about the fact that no amount of natural law reasoning will persuade the unpersuadable if what they are really afraid of is how Jesus threatens their sense of autonomy.
Yeah.
To the progressive skeptic or the red-pilled ex-liberal, I would simply ask, what say you? Is Jesus alive? If he is, then everything he and the Bible say about sexuality, family, and morality must be true too. So do not believe just in Christian morality or Christian culture. Believe in Jesus Christ and be saved.
Amen to that. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Former presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy has entered the race for Ohio governor, securing President Trump's endorsement just hours after his announcement. The 39-year-old biotech entrepreneur declared his candidacy during a rally in Westchester Township, promising to make Ohio the top state in the country where patriots across America actually flock to. Speaking of the Trump administration, Apple just announced a staggering $500 billion investment in the U.S. over the next 4 years. The tech giant will build a 250,000 square foot AI server factory in Houston, creating thousands of jobs in Texas while expanding operations in 8 other states. CEO Tim Cook, who attended Trump's inauguration and donated $1 million to his inaugural committee, credited faith in what we're doing for the investment decision. And while some battles bring clear victories, others continue in the courts. The Supreme Court declined to hear a challenge to restrictions on pro-life speech outside of abortion facilities, missing the opportunity to overturn the problematic Hill versus Colorado precedent from 2000. Across the pond, Stonewall UK, a leading pro-trans group that actually claims children as young as 2 can recognize their trans identity, faces cutting their staff by 50% after the Trump administration's cuts to USAID. Meanwhile, back home, Sonny Hostin from The View claimed on Monday that opposing woke culture is ungodly and not Christian. According to the theologian Hostin, criticizing wokeism means you don't care about her lived experience or the oppression of various groups. I guess it's time to stand corrected. And in media news, a federal judge declined the Associated Press's request to restore its White House access after being banned for refusing to use the term Gulf of America rather than Gulf of Mexico. The judge ruled the AP wasn't facing irreparable harm since they could still access pool coverage. And the White House noted that asking the president questions in the Oval Office and aboard Air Force One is a privilege granted to journalists. It is not a legal right. GameStop CEO Ryan Cohen has announced the closure of all Canadian and French locations, bluntly citing high taxes, liberalism, wokeness, and DEI as key factors. Finally, in New Mexico, Democrats blocked a bill that would ensure medical care for infants born alive after abortion attempts. HB 234, or the Medical Care for All Infants Born Alive bill, was mysteriously removed from the committee schedule after a New Mexico Alliance for Life investigation uncovered disturbing evidence from the University of New Mexico Hospital. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is mercy. Those who possess this gift are able to show compassion and comfort the afflicted, people who are sick, dying, or bereaved. God cares about the things that afflict us and has provided comfort in troubled times. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio, playing one of America's fastest growing game sensations.
Let me see where I've got that.
Was this a good idea? That's right. We're going to, oh, this is really exploding in popularity. Not quite like Libby Glossin's podcast, but it is exploding in popularity. It's called, what did I say? Was this a good idea?
That's it.
Or not? Jimmy, as always, you will represent the tens and tens of people listening to this here wretched radio program. Are you prepared for your most earnest responsibility?
I'm not prepared, but I'll do it.
Illinois Church, branded as hateful. They put up a billboard, New Hope Community Church in Palatine, Illinois. I'm sorry. Am I tipping my hand? Can you hear the smirk in my voice? People are saying they're hateful because they posted this sign. Heaven has strict immigration laws. Hell has open borders. And wow, did they take a pounding for it. Jimmy, I'll share the deets and then you can tell me if you think this was a good idea for the church to post it or not. The critics came out of the woodwork. It's hateful and politically charged in support of the Trump administration's crackdown on illegal immigration. But the church said, no. Quote, we want to be clear. We didn't mention nor intend this sign to be about U.S. immigration policy. This was posted on Facebook. We understand immigration is a hot topic today and wanted to use that to turn people's attention heavenward. We did not mention any country or any people group. We do not believe that all go to heaven and wanted the community to examine their relationship with Almighty God. People are getting triggered by the word immigration. We took a stand on immigration to heaven, not to the United States. So that was their motivation. They wanted to get people thinking about God and the afterlife. They used a very hot button subject and wow, did it get some attention from the community, and it's all very therapeutic in nature. The president of the elementary school district told the Daily Herald, she found the church's message to be harsh. Quote, it is unfortunate that a couple of phrases that some adults feel to be clever are posted in the face of many innocent school children having to ask parents, friends, and adults what they mean and why. Hold on. I got to get some blood to my head because it's draining right now and I'm ready to, this is from an elementary school that wants to indoctrinate children with gender confusion, which of course causes the kids to ask the parents, can you explain this, mom? And do they care about that sort of questioning for parents? No, but when it comes to eternal things, look out. Oh, somebody used a great line. Was it Adam Tyson? He's one of our fellows here at Fortis Institute. He was just in town, spent 3 days with us. Wow, was he a trooper. We worked him like a Grand Canyon mule. That guy was put to work and he just did some great stuff. We'll turn that resource out whenever it gets done in post-production. But I think he was the one, and if I'm wrong, nevertheless, I'll give him credit for it. Talking to an unbeliever, which is the true religion? I can answer that question for you. It's the one you hate. That is a great zinger. Why aren't people mad at Islam? Why aren't they upset with Buddhism? Why aren't they upset with Hinduism? And the answer is because they're all allies. They're all darkness too. So there's no reason to go to war against a friend. It is Jesus Christ and Christianity that is always the target. Why is it that Jesus' name gets used so commonly and so profanely by people? Never an, Confucius. And that would actually, that's got a little release power to it. With a, it just kind of makes you feel a little less angry by saying, why not? Well, because there's no point. He's dead. He's got no power. Why does the world always go after Christianity? And by the way, are they going after Christianity? I think it was in the Congo. Did you, Jimmy, I suspect you reported on this. 70 Christians had their heads sawn off with knives by Muslims. 70 beheaded. By the way, mainstream media, they're planning on doing all kinds of specials next week. They're just getting all the footage pulled together to make it a national event. Nothing from them. Why? Well, the media doesn't want to talk about Christian persecution. Why? Because they hate Christianity. They hate it. They hate the Christ of Christianity. And so they constantly war and fight against it. And I think that is true with this sign. It just torqued people. Because you're saying only some people, particularly those who are born again Christians, go to heaven and everybody else is wrong. And so it triggered an entire community. This is the school district pulling kids into the edginess and politics of the moment is absolutely inappropriate. And what is it that you're teaching children about sex ed? Speaking of sex ed, I don't know if I can find this. There was a school that said that they wanted to talk to the kids about the dead end of pornography in sixth grade. I think I've got that story pretty straight, even though I can't find it on my desk at the moment. And I think a lot of people go, well, good, it's about time. And that's not the school's job. It's just not your job. They shouldn't be even using the word pornography. It's not their place. It's not their responsibility. They do not have the authority. Well, we've ceded it, but they don't have it. That's parents' business. And so while it's like, okay, good, we're telling the sixth graders, because that's the age now where kids seem to be getting introduced to that garbage, They're telling them, hey, beware, it's really bad for you. And while it's like, yeah, I affirm that, I don't think it's their job to be teaching. I don't want them talking about the issue at all. At all. Reading, writing, arithmetic. Thank you very much. We'll take care of the rest. Back to Illinois, the church and the school district at odds. One of the parents said this. By the way, this is the therapeutic language. The woman from the elementary school said that this billboard causes real fear for our school-age children. Is it really? This is what one resident said. Part of why we moved to Palatine was the diversity and being able to show our kids everyone should have the opportunity to love each other. And seeing something like this is really upsetting. So in other words, we came here for tolerance sake. Except for that church. She has since followed up that statement with a message on the church's Facebook page declaring, I'm proud to have spoken out about the hate your church is spreading. Our community is one of love and acceptance, and signs like yours have no room here. So much for love and acceptance. Jimmy, the church, with good intentions, used immigration to provoke. It seems to have worked in some way, shape, or form. People are talking about it, but a lot of people are upset. What is this called? Was this a good idea or not? Hold on a second. I'll get you. Is this a good idea or not?
I'm going to say no. I'm you know me. You know I'm all about standing firm and not watering down the gospel. I firmly believe that. But I mean, at the same time, we want the message to draw people in, not push them away. And
maybe just because this issue is such a hot button subject, wisdom might have said, think of a different way to do it.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't render a verdict on a local church. It sounds like these, I don't know about the church, but what their theology is, et cetera. It sounds like their attitude was correct about it. And I don't think that it's my place to parachute into a church and denounce them for something like this. But I think if nothing else, I think that we need to be aware of this. I think this would be the takeaway. Politics, any aspect of it right now, it is so tender for so many people. I mean, the way people are talking, they're like, there's going to be firing squads. They're going to be invading churches with blowtorches to get rid of the illegal aliens. They're just apoplectic about these subjects. And I think we need to be mindful of that when we talk about politics, especially when there's any sort of connection to Christianity, I think maybe a takeaway from this would be you need to know it will put off some people. It just will. Now, what you do with that, that's up to you. But I'm just saying, I think still we are in a climate. This culture war ain't over. It's not like Donald Trump got put into the White House and all of a sudden people who want to mutilate children chemically or surgically are just, okay, we were wrong. We'll stop doing that. We'll never think transgenderism. We'll never bring up the subject again. Abortion. All right, fine. Have your way. It's not going to happen. It's going to continue because these issues are deep and profound and they're moral and they are all centered on God himself. And so let's be mindful of that. Let's be wise as serpents. Let's be gentle as doves. Because more than anything else, our goal isn't to provoke negatively and cause people to presumably be scared and afraid. We should be willing to provoke them so that their consciences are tweaked so that they understand their need for a savior. This is Wretched Radio.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King. The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Crotts helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to FortisInstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Friend of Sinners. While we were dead in our sins and condemned as enemies, Jesus bore our sins in himself so we could be reconciled to the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And speaking of immigration, this is Wretched Radio. Yep, a touchy subject, but I do believe, despite the fact that it is indeed a sensitive subject, we Christians should be the ones who speak loudly and biblically about the subject, because we are seeing a lot of liberal Christians with a different take on what it means to be a sojourner. Is God for open borders? The answer is no. Read Genesis chapter 9. Borders are needed for nations to exist, to keep us from being a one world order. hence different languages. God endorses borders, and God has something to say about how they should be guarded. The Sojourners movement, people like Jim Wallace and liberals, the Episcopalians would say, hey, God was very clear with the Jewish people. You were a sojourner once too, so let the sojourners in. And I say, yeah, it does say that, but it's not all it says. It says, let them in and they can stay if. They can stay if they assimilate, if they adopt the Jewish religion. Then they are indeed welcome to stay here. If not, you can put them out. And so there, we see that there are two different types of sojourners in the Old Testament. Those that assimilate, those that don't. Those that do, they receive privileges and rights. Those that don't are not welcome because they are there illegally, if you will. Right now, there's a lot of people squawking about immigration policies, especially those churches that want to use their building for a safe harbor for people who are here illegally. And if we don't at least recognize this is a little bit tricky, because we need to remember that the church does have a jurisdictional authority. After, I don't know where you're at with church-state stuff, but just for the sake of this conversation, I believe that the government, their responsibility is peace. You keep evil people from doing bad things, and you are given the sword as a minister of God to accomplish that end. But that is the limit of their authority. You've got the familial authority, the home, mom and dad, very pervasive authority with their children. It's a small number of people, but wow, it runs deep. But the parent, a dad, can't go to Washington and say, because I'm a father, this is the legislation that I demand. You just don't have that authority. But now the church, what is the church's authority? It's a spiritual authority. And that means if the government, physical sword, comes into the spiritual realm, they have no business there. And the church is run by God. We need to remember that in light of this conversation about liberal perspectives on immigration. And that if we believe inside of the church, I'm sorry, God has commanded us to do this, then no matter what the government says, we've got to do what God says. So that's, we've got that on the one hand. So now you've got liberals on the other hand saying, yeah, that's what we're doing. We believe that housing immigrants inside of the church is actually a spiritual issue. It is a God-mandated issue. Now, I think they're wrong. And I think that they need to be very willing to pay the consequence for that. But I do believe those of us who would not be considered progressive regarding this subject or anything else, frankly, we need to be careful because we don't want to be giving the impression that it is okay for the government to indeed break down the doors of a church and control it in any way, shape, or form. Now, can they control the physical elements? Yes, because it's about safety. But even that only goes so far. If the government, for instance, came in and said, hey, we've done the National Institute of Health and the CDC are in agreement that the wafer that you people are taking, it can ultimately cause cancer in lab rats, 1.5 times the rate of lab rats that didn't eat those wafers. Therefore, your communion wafers need to be brownies. We would say, sorry, that's just not your call to make. God has set a pattern and a model for us. We're going to follow him. And if it turns out a lab rat gets a tumor and that indicates that we might do it, well, that's going to be our decision. This is a spiritual issue. So we want to defend that. But now what do we do when we see religious people, Christians, air quote Christians, utilize that same thinking? I think it's very simple. We just say you're wrong. You're just plain wrong. And we need to teach them and help them to understand what the Bible teaches about this subject. So in an effort to do that, this is from the Christian Post. Sojourners are helping churches respond to Trump order on ICE raids. I do think this is an individual from Sojourners. I do think this is an opportunity for churches to exercise their religious liberty, to serve those who are in vulnerable circumstances. Okay, I think that we should serve those who are in vulnerable circumstances if we can. But that's not the same as giving safe harbor to somebody who's broken the law. You want to feed people? If an immigrant shows up who is here illegally at your church door and you want to give them a loaf of bread, I would have no argument with that. But to bring them in and protect them from the government, the minister of God, a la Romans 13, and then say you can't come in here because this is a church, I would simply say you're flat out wrong. The lawsuit that has been filed against Trump claims an immigration enforcement action during worship services, ministry work, or other congregational activities would be devastating to their religious practice. And that's the issue right there. Because I don't want to overlook the government has to be very, very careful what they say to the church. And we do not want to give that ground away by going, oh, these people are liberals, so let ICE go into the church. Hold on a second. That gets really scary. So we want to be really balanced in this. The church is a place where the government does not belong in enforcing spiritual issues. Now, here's what's happening with these progressives. They're saying, well, it is a spiritual issue because we believe that housing illegal immigrants is a religious thing. So what should we say to that? You're wrong. And the government has every right to do then to you what they determine best for participating in criminal activity. You need to be willing to pay the consequence. That goes for all of it. Now, if the government, for instance, came into your church, you're a Bible-teaching church, they told you to stop teaching the Bible and you refused because God says, preach the Bible, then you need to be willing to go to jail for it because that's the role of the government. And that's what I would say to these people. You're wrong. It would shatter the consecrated space of sanctuary, thwart communal worship, and undermine the social service outreach that is central to religious expression and spiritual practice. So this can get really messy, and we can start talking about constitutional rights. Does a church have a right to resist the government in housing of illegals? Well, I don't think so. And I think that really, by the way, is another important key to thinking this through. To the sojourner people, I would say, well, let's just replace one law-breaking citizen or law-breaking human with another law-breaking human. Let's say that there were 1,000 people in this country who'd embezzled from American corporations millions and millions of dollars. Would you say that these people need to be given safe harbor in your church? They've embezzled. They've hurt people. They've broken laws. And we could use a more egregious crime, physical harm, molestation. Or this is a religious practice to give these people safe. The issue is law-breaking here. Now, should the church be willing to speak up on behalf of those who are trying to come here or who are here, who escaped a horrible circumstance? Should we be willing to talk about that? Of course we should. And then I think to not do that, oh, it was pretty chilly, to be honest. But that doesn't say that everybody gets to stay, but at least we should have a heart and a desire to see people who are in rotten circumstances, if possible, experience a better quality of life. We should be okay with that, but there are some considerations and circumstances. And when it comes to a nation, the citizens who are currently here legally, born or otherwise, they get priority. We need to handle this conversation about immigration very, very carefully. Somebody said there's no constitutional right for churches to be sanctuaries for criminal activity. But see, that's the emphasis, right? For criminal activity. Let's make sure that as we go about the issue of talking about immigration, we keep our categories straight. We're talking about illegal activity. We're not talking about a spiritual discipline or a spiritual practice or a regulative principle of worship. We're talking about illegal criminal activity, and the government has the right to bear the sword and to stop that. And before we go, with or without wham, how's about the border czar, Tom Homan, who's a Roman Catholic, after Pope Francis criticized the government for the deportation policy? Quote from the border czar, The Pope has a wall around the Vatican, does he not? So he's got a wall to protect his people and himself. But we can't have a wall around the United States? I wish he'd stick to the Catholic Church and fix that and leave border enforcement to us. Pretty hard to argue with that. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.